Morning, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, so please turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the title of this morning's message is The Gift is Greater. The Gift is Greater. So while you're turning in your Bibles, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you for, Lord, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may you remind us this morning, Lord, that the gift, Jesus Christ, is greater, Lord, than anything that we can go through. Lord, greater than anything that we can pursue. Anything in our lives. Lord, Jesus Christ is greater. And so, Father, we ask that you, Lord, give us understanding. Holy Spirit, be with us this morning. And open our eyes to your truths. And may we apply it to our lives to bring you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So hold your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You don't need to turn here, but I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 10. Verse 27. Because here's what we should be doing on a regular basis when it comes to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27 says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Now, so often we get blindsided by life. You know, just circumstances in our life kind of cloud our view, our perspective of what we should be doing as Christians, and that is what we hear here. What we hear when we're at Bible study, what we hear when we're talking to each other and sharing Scripture with each other, what God whispers in our ear, we should be preaching, we should be shouting from the mountaintops. And that's what we need to be reminded of this morning. The subject as we go into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the subject is dealing with the great gift that we have, and that is found in Jesus Christ. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the most wonderful gift that you could ever give to anyone. It's not found under any tree. It's not found in a box or in a bag or in a little card. But it was found 2,000 years ago in a manger, Jesus Christ. And hopefully this morning you are reminded of that amazing gift. But also we need to be reminded that although we have the greatest gift, we need to also understand that we have that gift within these earthen vessels. You know, these bodies that experience pain, that experience excitement and just everything that goes with life. That we have our ups and we have our downs. And it's in those down moments that we need to be reminded that, hey, listen, although we go through those different trials and tribulations, the testing that we go through, remember that we ought to persevere and continue on. And I'll explain to you why it is that we are to do that as we go on. Now, just a reminder that we are entrusted with this gift, not to internalize, but to give it away. I'm going to challenge you this morning to do just that, to give that gift away. One of the tricks that Satan has and that he often succeeds with is getting us all busy, right? Especially during this time, we get so busy in the purchasing of the gifts that we lose sight of really what we ought to be doing, and that is in preparing for the celebration of the birth of our Savior. And not only during this time do we get busy, do we get overwhelmed with those things which we, which come into our lives, our circumstances. Not only during this time, but throughout the year. And so, again, we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and focus on why it is that we are to persevere and refocus and reprioritize how it is that we are to live our lives. I heard this story. It was actually sent to me in an email. It was Greg Laurie's devotion on December 15th, which says, one of the greatest examples of this is found in the life of Joni Erickson Tada. Joni. You all know who I'm talking about. As a young girl, dove into a shallow lake and suffered a spinal cord injury that paralyzed her from the neck down. Despite this severe lifelong disability, Joni has encouraged millions of people. Now she's battling breast cancer. In an interview, she said, I keep thinking that God is up to something big. How can I showcase Him to others? She knows that her life is on display and others are watching and learning by her response to these storms. One day, every storm will have an end, and then in the big picture, we will see God's ultimate plan and purpose. That's what we need to see. God's ultimate plan and purpose. We shouldn't be blinded by the circumstances that we find ourselves in and get all tangled up in them. We need to see beyond those, understand why it is that God has us in the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and use it to His glory. Just like Joni has been using throughout her life, right? Now, in my opinion, I think that's where we get stuck as Christians. Is the issues, everyday issues, stop us from sharing the gospel, the greatest gift. Now, I would absolutely fail this morning if all I did was come up here and made you feel good or exhorted you and not asked you to do something as you left. And I'm going to use an acronym for you, and this is something that we're going to learn as a church and we're going to do as a church so that we can become effective for the kingdom of God. The acronym is ACT. A, you need to come prepared, right? With a pencil or a pen. A is for apply. Anything that you're reminded of, anything that you come across that you need to apply. In other words, something that the Lord has just spoken to you that you need to, something new. Whether it be scripture that you come across, something that I said, you need to put an A next to that. Just simply put an A. The second one is C, change. Maybe there's something that you need to change. Again, scripture, something that was said, something that you were reminded of. Oftentimes, as I'm writing notes, something that someone is teaching about, I'm reminded of something else. You know, and that's the Holy Spirit. What He does is, as I'm speaking to you right now, He could be reminding you of something else. You need to jot that down. Don't forget that. He's bringing that to your remembrance for a specific reason. So you need to put a C next to whatever you need to change. And the next one is very important, is T. T is for teaching. Whatever comes to mind, whatever you're reminded of that you need to pass along to someone, maybe it's not teaching, maybe it's encouraging someone. But you're still teaching someone and reminding them what the Word of God says, right? So you put a T next to whatever scripture or whatever you're reminded of. And I'm going to ask you to do something with that at the end of the message. And that's what we're going to do every time we come together. Because hopefully, again, you don't come just to feel good. Hopefully you come to learn something and apply it to your lives to God's glory. Amen? Now here's the benefits for this morning. Peace. Any of you need peace? Yeah, strength. Any of you need strength? How about the right vision? A right perspective, a godly perspective. Always need to be reminded of that, right? And how about this? Instead of a temporal, you need an eternal perspective in your life. Beyond your circumstances, not temporal, but eternal. And so that's what we're going to be encouraged with this morning. some of the points that I'll go over, and this is throughout, this is a formal 4 points that I'm going to go over, but just listen in for this. The gift of eternal life and the gospel of hope in Jesus is too precious to allow life to stop us from persevering and giving it away to others. Number two, our difficult circumstances are only difficult temporarily. This too shall pass, but not eternal. Number three, our difficult circumstances are not by chance. Listen, they're not by chance, but they serve a purpose and a plan, which is beyond us, sometimes beyond our comprehension. Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. And we need to understand that He is God. He is in control at all times, even through the difficult moments. And number four, focus again on the eternal and not the temporal. We need to do that. Let's go through 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So this is the first time that Paul encourages us to not lose heart. This is the first time. The second time is in verse 16, where he says it again. Now, what is this ministry that he's talking about? Since we have received this ministry. Well, in 2 Corinthians, if you go back a chapter in verse 6, it says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Listen, so many times we use the word in the wrong manner. We use it to condemn instead of to give life. And we need to be reminded that the Spirit gives life, and we are ministers of the new covenant, which is grace, right? Remember that, grace. We also see in 2 Corinthians, if you go to chapter 5, verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are to be ministers of reconciliation. That's why it's important for us to not harbor any resentment, no anger. We are to reconcile quickly with others. Because what that'll do is it'll hinder our relationship with the Lord. So we need to be ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And he says in the previous chapter, Paul writes out what it is that we are ministers of mercy and God's grace. And he writes in the previous chapter how glorious this ministry is. And so with that, he tells us, do not lose heart. You have the greatest gift within you. You have perfect knowledge of it, and you are to not lose heart merely because of that. And you have the hope of eternal life. We'll continue, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, verse 2. Not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now this is a beautiful verse as you look at it, but one of the most difficult things to do is commending ourselves to other people. In other words, being transparent. Right? Oftentimes we come to church, and as Pastor Charlie talked about, you know, we ask, how you doing? And we say, good. We're doing good. What we need to say is, really, are you really good? Because I can look out here, and there may be smiling faces, but there's something hurting. There's something that brings you hurt, that brings you pain, that you're concerned with, that you need to give to the Lord and allow it to stay there. But we need to be transparent. renouncing the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. People still today, as they did back then, they came and they preached the word for their own personal benefit. Monetarily, whether it be prestige or otherwise, they would come around and preach the word, but for their own benefit. And so they would twist the word, just like we see today, those people who preach the word and use it to make people, again, think that the word is something different than what it actually is. Well, health and wealth, right? If you believe it, if you continue to, I don't know, say it over and over and have enough faith, you will receive it. You've heard that? Well, listen, sometimes it's not what we think, right? The blessings don't come necessarily always financially. Sometimes they come in the form of peace, of joy within our lives. And that's enough. Because God says to Paul that his grace is sufficient, and it should be sufficient for us. So we don't handle ourselves that way, but we are transparent and to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let's continue verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 1:18, which says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are, what, being saved? It is the power of God. There's this veil. I mean, again, you look at 2 Corinthians, you go back just one chapter. And by the way, as you're studying the Word of God, make sure you always look at the chapter before and the chapter after to get it in full context. But in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, we read in verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I mean, we're dumbfounded when we hear that there's many Jews that don't believe that Jesus was a Christ. I mean, you can go to Isaiah, right, and many of the prophets, and see that he was prophesied about, and it came about in the New Testament, right? As Jesus came into this earth, which we're about to celebrate on the 25th, prophecies were fulfilled. And we don't understand, why is it that people can't see that? It's only through Jesus Christ that the veil is lifted. But listen, we continue to go on anyway. Right? It's not for us to share the gospel with someone and insist that they understand what you're telling them. You need to simply just share the gospel and allow the Lord to reap and to bring about a harvest. Let's continue. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Psalm 119:105. The psalmist said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God in this dark world lights the path of truth. If you actually in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus talks about the narrow path. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, right? But narrow is the path, and what lights the path and allows us to stay on the narrow road is the light that the truth shines for us to follow and to continue on in our walks with the Lord. That's why it's so important for us to continue in the Word of God, to get that wisdom, right? Not just the knowledge, but the wisdom to apply and continue on that path. So this is what we have. Paul is reminding us, hey, listen, do not lose heart. This is what you have within you, within each and every person that has put their trust in Jesus Christ. This is what you have. Do you fully understand that? Sometimes I need to be reminded. Because again, the circumstances can cloud my perspective, can hold me back from sharing the greatest gift that I have to give. And so I need to be reminded. But this is what we have. In Acts chapter 17, as the Apostle Paul, he was speaking to the Areopagus on Mars Hill. He was telling, listen, this is who God is. The unknown God, that's whom you worship. Let me tell you about him. And he started telling him who God was. And at one point, he said, he's not far from you. If you grope for him, and that gives you the picture of a man in darkness or a blind man that just kind of feels around and gropes. Listen, he's that close to you. All you have to do is feel for him and you'll find, seek him and you will find him. So that's what the Apostle Paul reminded them of or told them of. And so we're reminded of that this morning, but the light illuminates not only our path, but also will open the eyes of the blind. This is the treasure that's hidden within us. Now here's the issue, is that we're frail human beings. We are likened to jars of clay. Frail. If you drop a jar of clay, it's going to just break, right? It's going to shatter. But that's the vessel that God uses to carry the greatest gift. Let's go on, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. How many times have you gone through different trials and thought, I can't go on any further? I don't know if I can continue being strong. I know I have plenty of times. Kind of reach the end of your rope and think, I cannot do it anymore. Well, listen, it's at that time that God excels and he receives the most praise. When you can't do it in and of yourself, and you let everything go to the Lord and allow him to work through you and strengthen you and give you the words and give you another day to persevere, that's when he receives the most glory. And it's amazing how you can look back and think, man, God carried me through this different situation or this other one over here. And you can praise God for all those blessings. Verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. One reason why I chose this section of Scripture is I was trying to think of, well, some kind of pre-Christmas message, right? Something that will lead us, into Christmas and Christmas Eve. And I kept coming back to what Pastor Francis Chan, a former pastor of Cornerstone, he said, and he gave his letter of resignation. He stepped away from the pulpit, not from the ministry, but from the pulpit, willingly. This church is just at its pinnacle. Maybe. I think it's just continuing to flourish. But he stepped away. This is what he said. He said, the one thing that I'll miss is every Sunday sharing with the congregation what the Lord has done in my life. And it just kept coming back. And I thought, okay, Father, what are you trying to tell me? And I know exactly what he was trying to tell me. Many of you have already heard some of the things that we've gone through as a family. But I'm not going to tell you, listen, this is the disclaimer. I'm not telling you this so that you can go, oh, wow, you know, I can't imagine you going through that. Because this pales in comparison to anything that many people are going through throughout the world. But just a little over a month ago, or it's been about a month, we had a flood in our home. I thought it was just going to be, yeah, just clearing everything out, you know, and cleaning up. But the insurance company sent someone out. They said, no, we got to move you out. And we need to do the repairs here. They cut all the drywall in our home, half the home, about 2 or 3 feet up, exposed everything, treated it, literally moved out half the house, so it's somewhere in storage. And we're living at our new address is, what is it? I don't know, Harriman. It's the Residence Inn. And we've been there for the last month. Now, while we were there, Bettina had to work the next day after Thanksgiving, so on Black Friday, and we were going out to our car, and we found two windows broken out and stuff taken from the vehicle. And so I was going to take her to work that day, and we had to deal with that. Okay, so she finally went to work, and I was dealing with the insurance company and getting things taken care of. And so I go home because I need to take care of the dogs. I grab Isaiah, our youngest, and we go to the house. So we're there, and he goes out to the backyard to go play. He comes back in with Isaac, and he's holding his face and crying. And I just hear the dog bit him. Right? Okay, so we're displaced already. We had that morning our car broken into, and now my son is bitten by our dog, right? All right, so that's not where it ends, though. It keeps going. So we take care of all of that, and then, what was it, last week? I think it was the beginning of last week. We, Bettina, she gets back to our new home. By the way, it's a mansion, 100 rooms, maids, everything. So she comes home from work, and all she's going to do is she's going to stop. By the way, don't park in the back of the place that I'm telling you about. Okay, that's the wrong place to be. So she parks in the back because it's closest to our room. She runs in, gets some stuff together, and grabs Isaac and comes back down. When she comes back out, she realizes that the thieves came back. So no, but they did a clean job this time. So no windows were broken, which was good. But they drilled out the lock on the driver's side. Beautiful job, by the way. Drilled out the hole, and all they did was probably a screwdriver or something to open up the car, rifle through the glove box, through the center console. But, you know, we don't leave anything in there anymore, except for some old CDs, and apparently they didn't like that. They didn't like the Bibles that were there, and they left us alone, right? But now we have a lock. Now we just leave the doors open and everything just... Bob was saying we ought to leave them a note just telling them, hey, take what you want, don't break anything, gas is in there, it's fueled, take it for a ride, just bring it back. Yeah. But I wish I could sit here and tell you all of this and tell you that we have behave the whole time in such a godly way. Because we've had our moments. Right? There's really, we understand that what we're going through, this is a whole thing. We need to understand why it is that we're going through. That God has a plan and a purpose for it all that goes way beyond us. We always try and figure out why is it, you know, Why are you bringing me through this? Now, it's good to do that if he's disciplining you, right? If you're going through certain things because you're being disciplined, then yeah, you need to figure out why it is that you keep going through what you're going through and change it. Remember the acronym, ACT. Something you may not just have to apply, but change. But sometimes it's just a test. Hey, you know what? Have you considered my servant Job? You know, and we're nowhere close to that, right? But sometimes we feel like that. Gosh, one wave after another. They're like, what is the deal? Well, hey, son, I'm just testing you. Is your faith real? Are you going to give me glory in good times and in bad? Are you going to still praise me through the difficult times in your life? Well, we have, and then we haven't. There's been those moments, again, where we've been just, gosh, what's going on? Or maybe not even there. We have our discussions, you know, between my wife and I. But we talk through them. You know what? Here's the thing. Is when you can recover quickly from those times, then you know you're growing. And you know you understand that, hey, what are we doing here? You know, let's get back to the program. Let's get back to what we should be doing. Let's fully understand that the gift that we have within us is greater, .. than anything that we could possibly go through. And I know many of you are going through your own issues. You need to be reminded, greater is the gift that we have within us. And that's what God reminds us here. These are encouraging words. He says, we have this treasure within this earthen vessel, but yes, listen, we are hard-pressed. You may feel like just the pressures of the world are caving in on every side, yet God says you are not crushed. We are perplexed, maybe scratching your head, wondering, what's the deal? Why? But God says here, but not in despair. He says, do not despair, because I have it all figured out for you. Don't worry about it. Don't despair. Many people are despairing in today's world. I know people who are giving up on life and taking their own lives. I mean, that's the ultimate moment of desperation to get to that point. There's people who are going into school council meetings. I don't know if you saw that on the news. And he was going to shoot the whole board, basically. And there was a security guard that came in and exchanged some gunfire with this man. And the man ended up taking his own life. But there's people like that all over the world. Then we have our celebrities. That what they do is the buzzword is really provocative. It's not some other word, but how provocative can I be? I'm in a state of desperation. Nothing makes me happy anymore, so I'm going to do something shocking. You know, we have people just in the news this last week. We have Miley Cyrus that was shown, I don't know if you saw this, taking a hit of a bong. You know, now this was someone who was a role model to a lot of our kids, right? It's like they look to Miley, wow, she's so innocent and she's so pure and she's doing this. And we see so many of these people going off in the wrong direction. This is a sign of desperation, of not knowing. They're groping, but they're not groping for the right thing. Listen, we have the greatest gift to give away. And we need to be reminded of that. And that's what we need to give. And not give in to desperation. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can rest on that promise. And struck down, but not destroyed. We will never be destroyed. We may feel like we're struck down, but let me remind you, you can get back up. Don't ever stay down. because you're not destroyed. And since we have, verse 13, the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. We need to speak. Do you believe? Okay. Do you believe? Therefore we speak, right? Verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Romans 8:28, for all things work for good, right? To those who love God, they're the called according to his purpose. Right? We need to believe that. Everything. It's not by chance that something takes place. In fact, James chapter 1, one of my favorite few verses, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Nothing. Right? Perfect is another word for mature. You need to be maturing through these times. Count it all joy. Difficult to count it all joy? All joy? Yes. But listen, this is what we're reminded to do. Count it all joy. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. This is the second time that Paul writes, do not lose heart. So he's encouraging us. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. This is the second time. The first time he's reminding us of this glorious gift that we have. The second time he's saying, hey, listen, although you have this glorious gift, you're going to go through stuff in this life. And I want to just remind you that God has a purpose for it all. Don't worry about it. Don't try and figure it all out. But just know that God will never allow you to be destroyed. Do not be in despair. Trust in him that even through this, he will get you through it to his glory and fulfill his plans and purposes. He says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20 talks about this treasure that we have, that we shouldn't be laying it up where moth or rust destroys, which is here on earth, but we should have this eternal perspective, knowing that we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy. And that's what we need to understand. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hebrews 11:6 says that it's impossible to please God without faith. We need to have the faith that what you heard this morning is a truth, and we need to apply it to our lives. We need to really understand that this gift of eternal life with the Lord through Jesus Christ is a gift that we are not to receive and just hoard and keep for ourselves, but we should be sharing and giving away to others. We need to, by faith, understand that what is spoken to us this morning, as far as understanding that God is working in us something that goes beyond what we're dealing with for his eternal glory, that we take that to heart and apply to our lives and by faith receive it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul the Apostle was asking the Lord to remove this thorn from his flesh. He said in verse 7 of chapter 12, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul continues, Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How amazing. I smile and I thank God, because his power is shown not necessarily in the times when everything is going well, but it's in those times where we can demonstrate to the world how real he is. And that they can sit there and look at you and go, what is it about you? There's something different. You're not responding correctly to the troubles that you're going through. Then you can share with them. We're also reminded, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to this. Starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ Jesus. This is just one of the reasons why you go through different things in your life, is to comfort others with the same comfort that you've been comforted with in Christ Jesus. There's a reason for it all. And we need to sing his praises. There's a story, Norm Lawson tells a story of a rabbi and a soap maker who went for a walk together. The soap maker said, "What good is religion? Look at all the trouble and misery of the world. Still there, even after years, thousands of years, of teaching about goodness and truth and peace. Still there, after all the prayers and sermons and teachings, if religion is good and true, why should this be?" Rabbi said nothing. They continued walking until they noticed a child playing in the gutter. Then the rabbi said, "Look at the child. You say that soap makes people clean. But see the dirt on that youngster? Of what good is soap? With all the soap in the world, over all these years, the child is still filthy. I wonder how effective soap is after all." The soap maker protested, "But Rabbi, soap cannot do any good unless it is used." "Exactly," replied the rabbi. "All the Bible teaching in the world, all the sermons that you hear, will not do you any good unless they're applied. I hope that you jotted down A, C, T. Act on what you heard this morning and how it is that the Lord spoke to you this morning. Whether it be for encouragement, to teach others, to change, to apply in your life, whatever it is, it's all to God's glory. Amen? Here's the thing. Within the next 24 hours, you need to act on those acronyms. You need to do that. Within the next 24 hours, you need to act on those things which were shown to you this morning. I want to leave you with this. Philippians 4. And you can turn in your Bibles there if you like. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." And that's what I want to leave you with. And I want, for those of you who have not placed your trust in Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to those who have already placed their trust in Christ. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he was writing to the believers there, to the church there. You know, so our strength, sometimes we reach our end and we wonder how it is that we can go any further. Well, the problem is that we can't in and of our own strength. We need the Lord. But he didn't come just to give you strength. Jesus Christ did not come to just empower you. Right? We can't be delusional in thinking that that's what he came for. To give us a better life in, as far as our earthly, which he does. He blesses us. He came for a whole different reason. That's to give us the hope of eternal life with the Father. He paid for the sins which we so deservedly were to pay for. And he went to the cross and paid for them. What we need to do, for those who have not placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you need to acknowledge the fact that sin separates you, that we're all sinners, and sin is what separates you from God the Father, that you accept Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior, and repent, turn from your sin, and you pursue holiness and righteousness, always pleasing the Lord. And so you can simply do that right where you are. And I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to do that. So as I ask the worship team to come back up, let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for reminding us of the precious gift that we hold within these earthen vessels, these bodies, these tents, Lord, that are breaking down. These tents in which we feel, Lord, we experience life. Sometimes we do feel like just it's too much, Lord. Lord, maybe we're reminded of a loss in our lives at this time. We feel sorrow. Nonetheless, Lord, you tell us to look beyond our circumstances and continue to share the gift with others, being ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of Jesus Christ, again, the greatest gift. And so, Lord, thank you for reminding us of that. And Father, I just ask that for every heart that has not placed their trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that that happens this morning. Or that we may not only rejoice here on earth, but we know that for every person who turns their lives over to you, your Son, Jesus Christ, that there is a rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that becomes a saint by the covering of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that if you have placed that on anyone here this morning, Lord, that choice, placed it heavy on their hearts, Lord, that they would not delay acting upon it, but that they may confess their sin to you, ask for forgiveness, and receive you, Lord Jesus Christ, as just that, Lord of their lives. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We praise you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.